Daniel chapter 3, if you would, please, for this evening. And for most part, we're going to kind of wrap up this thing of music. And I'll just say this about the study of music. I've given the philosophical and principle foundation for us as Christians to study music. The rest of it's going to be technical, okay? And so I don't want to take preaching time for that. But I would recommend, and I have resources I can give to you. I can send them to you. I can get you in contact with good resources for you to study about the right kind of music. I don't just want to say, listen to the right kind of music, okay? That's like a duh. Okay, and then you say, well, what is the right kind of music? Okay, I get that. I know that's what follows next. But again, I'm not going to take the preaching time to go through and to show you what a note is and show you how to do this and how to do that and what this sounds like and what that sounds like, because that's class time. That's teaching time, education time, as far as that goes there. And there are wonderful resources out there. And I want to encourage each one of you to further your knowledge of music. And there are some wonderful videos that you can watch with teachers, good Christian teachers, teaching about music, about chord progressions, about compositions, about studying, you know, different ways to form music and what makes it good and what makes it not good to listen to. All of those avenues that are out there, okay? But tonight we're going to finish up the philosophical groundwork, okay, that we want to start with to change our minds about the kind of music that we listen to, or at least I'm going to give you some tools tonight of how to make sure you don't fall prey to the devil's snares in music, because they're out there. And sometimes they're very subtle, and they draw you in and capture you. And that's, of course, the devil's intent, okay? So let's stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. As we read tonight, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. I want to begin in verse 5 of Daniel chapter 3. And, of course, this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and about there, Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, we know in the first few verses that he puts together an image of gold. And then he gathers the people together and wants them to worship this image of gold. And so we begin in verse 5. And he says, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I thought it was quite interesting that three times in this passage, four times in this passage, we see this idea of these instruments listed. We see this idea of the people hearing the sounds, right? And then we see the phrase four times where it says, and all kinds of music. Now, the word kind is just simply a particular manner or a particular thing, right? So it's all kinds. It can mean all types or diverse kinds or diverse types of music. So we're in this story, we're in Babylon. And some think it's around 580 BC or so in that realm, perhaps. But I want you to realize that in this old time of history, that big nations like Babylon, okay, or you could say Greece or, you know, whatever nations were out there, they would assimilate other cultures as they conquered, as they gathered information, as they would assimilate poetry and religions and gods and worship and music. Okay? So we have all of these types of instruments listed, and some of them were similar. For instance, the psaltery and the dulcimer the dulcimer, I think, is like a bagpipe. The sackbut, I think, or maybe that's the bagpipe, not sure. But some of them are translated also a lyre, right? Not a L-I-A-R, an L-Y-R-E, okay? But it's a stringed instrument of sorts, so is a harp. So there were maybe different sizes or shapes of harps, you know, stringed instruments, but they were given different names. We have a flute, we have a cornet, we know what those are, and those types of things. And so all of these things were given, and it says when you hear the sounds of these, and then it says, and all kinds of music. So don't think that this phrase, and all kinds of music, just means, well, when you hear the music of the sackbut, and you hear the music of the psaltery, and you hear the music of the harp, and you hear the music of the flute, that's what that means. It's not, because it's given in the list. Okay? So when you hear the cornet, when you hear the flute, you hear the sound of that instrument, you hear the sound of the dulcimer, you hear the sound of the harp, and then you hear all kinds of music. All right? So you might hear la 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 la, and you might hear ba 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 over here, and you might hear, you know, all kinds of music. That can mean different harmonies, different melodies, different rhythmic patterns, different chord progressions, right? We've kind of learned through some of these things. But it says all kinds of music. As we think about that in our modern times, in our modern days, I want you to understand that in churches, when you hear all kinds of music, the people bow down and worship. I'll go back to what I've said before, and I'm really dwelling on this. Can I just, and without, because I haven't settled my mind on it yet, but I'm slowly coming to the idea that we're using music in a completely improper fashion. God created music to worship God. And I think we need to be careful how we use music. You know, music today is used for lots of different things. And I think the majority of them are a misuse of music, a tool that God created for worship. Think of it here. Now, they weren't worshiping the one true God, but what were they using music for? The worship of a God, right? Because when they heard all kinds of music, hey, this could have been music that from this country they conquered, or from this country they conquered, or even could have been music from the Israelites whom they conquered. It could have been all different nations' kinds of music. Because guess what? When the Babylonians heard it, they fell down and worshiped. When the Chaldeans heard it, they fell down and worshiped. If there were Greeks there, when the Greeks heard it, they fell down and worshiped. Because it says that there were all nations and all languages. These people, when they heard the music, they fell down and worshiped. And let me tell you, there are going to be people that tell you, look, this is how I worship God. And they start playing their rock music and they're worshiping God. Or they're worshiping they God. So we've got to be judicious in deciphering all kinds of music. Because you know what? I want to worship God correctly. We will take the time, and I hope you have, to settle your mind that this is the Word of God. I hope you've studied it. I hope you've searched it out. And you've settled that this King James Version of the Bible in the English language is the perfect, inerrant, preserved Word of God. And that all the others are fakes. They're frauds. All right? So when I see something like is given to us here in Daniel, all kinds of music. Hey, think about this. If you were King Nebuchadnezzar, when you gave a decree, would you want the Babylonians to know that it's time to worship this God? So what would you play? The Babylonian God-worshipping music. Right? And if you wanted the Chaldeans, right, to worship this God, you would play the Chaldean God worship music. And if you wanted the Greeks to worship this God, you would play the Greek God worshiping music. And if you wanted the Jews to worship this God, you would play the, all kinds of music. Right? So, as we think of this, and this is why this is a good passage to kind of end this study on, we need to remember what it is we're looking for in music. We're looking for something that the God we serve, the God that we have faith in, is the kind of music He wants to worship Him with. Okay? Because guess what? It doesn't matter what you want. That should be point number one if I didn't write it down as point number one. Oh, there it is. Point number one. Doesn't matter what you want. It matters what He wants. What He wants to listen to. What music pleases Him. That's what we need in our music. And by the way, when you listen to music, is it wrong for you to benefit from the music you listen to? No. But yes. It's wrong if that's your motive, because then that's selfish. But if you find pleasure and receive pleasure for worshiping your God, that's a good bonus, right? We use that principle in all areas of our life, right? Managing our money, our time, our talents, our treasure, stewardship, right? Why not be a good steward of music? Instead of playing music to calm your soul, why don't you play music and listen to music that's going to praise God, and then your soul will be calmed. See how that works? And that's what we should do. So as we look at this, let's look at a few things. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to give you some ideas and some things to help us to make sure we're doing our diligence to choose the right kind of music. 1 John chapter 4, Look at verse 1. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." That's capital S. "Every spirit," little s, "that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit," little s again, "that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. That he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, I do understand this is talking about spirits. But again, we're looking for a principle. If we're going to be told to try the spirits, whether they're of God or whether they're not, or whether they're of the world, then why wouldn't we try our music, whether or not it's of God or of the world? Make sense to everyone? So, here's a good test for us to see. Is our music pleasing to God? You say, how do we know that? Well, we've already learned some of the principles, right? Melody, harmony, rhythm. I've already read to you what the world says
conservative music is,
because it's boring. And by the way, the more I read this definition about conservative music, the more I like it. Because it's structured, it's ordered, it's simple, it follows rules. I like it. Because you know what worldly music does? It breaks the rules. It's rebellious. It doesn't follow a structure. It wants to be unique. Sounds like something. I will sit on the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. I. That's all those other forms of music. That's what they want. So we've got to be careful to make sure that we have music that reinforces established conventions rather than questioning them. It is opposite of avant-garde or experimental music. It has an adherence to a strong tonal center using familiar scales, chord progressions, and keys that create a clear, accessible, and predictable sound. Sounds like something God would want. Not all kinds of music. Think about this. Think about what it would have sounded like at Nebuchadnezzar's palace when this was going on. All kinds of music. I mean, what a horrendous chaos. And by the way, if you've ever listened to rock music, it hurts my ears. It's chaos. Especially like death metal or stuff like that. It's ridiculous. Why anybody would want to listen to that? After about 3.5 seconds of it, you're just like, "God, turn this off. It's hurting my ears." You know, it just gets you. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to be careful what we listen to. We need to try the spirits. Here's another thing about this. If the world likes it, it's probably not for us. Now, that's not a guarantee, but it's a good principle to go by. And let me ask you a question. How popular is a book like this in our world today? Anybody see these songs on the charts? No. No. Let me ask you a question. Why not? Why not? Hundreds, thousands of Christians sing them. Right? And listen to them in their churches on Sundays. But why aren't these the ones getting the recognition? You know what happens? And I told you what one of my friends told me once. Well, we're tired of those. We've been singing them for 100 years. Old things. Sometimes, you know, this world gets tired of old things. I think we should embrace old things. Right? Want a hug? Brother Hollingshead and I have a thing going on here about old things. It's because I'm an old thing and he's not, so we got that figured out. You know, hey, I mean, man, we've been singing Amazing Grace since the 1800s. You know? Let's get a new song. We've been reading this Bible since the 1600s. This particular English version of it. Right? Let's get a new one. It's time for a new one. Why? The world's always looking for something new. You know what God tells us to do? Look for something old. Remove not the ancient landmarks. Guess what an ancient landmark is? Something old. It's not something you're supposed to get rid of. You know what we need more of? We need more of the old hymns. We need more of the old songs. Hey, how about some of the old compositions? The way they used to compose music instead of the way they're composing it now. You see, because the way they're composing music now is they're putting in little nuances of things they've heard because it sounds good. And by the way, that for me, I want to reiterate something here. I have listened to almost all of it, folks. Now I'm somewhat embarrassed to tell you that, but I have experienced the majority of the world's music. And I'm really sorry that I have. Okay? Because I can't walk into a Walmart or even sometimes down the street without hearing a song that I know. And I shouldn't know it. And guess what? It's funny because these are songs that I probably haven't even really heard since like the early 90s maybe. And I still know the words to the doggone songs. After all that time. And I can still sing the choruses and the verses like, oh, get that out of my head. It affects us. So we've got to try the spirits. We've got to try our music. We've got to make sure it's following the right structure. The structure of order and symmetry. It has a function. It is predictable. It is clear and accessible. It's something familiar. It's not pushing the boundaries. It's not going against the grain. It is something that is pleasing to God. Now, go over to Romans. Oh, you know, I'll tell you what. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 while I read to you, of course, Romans 12. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, what am I trying to tell you tonight? We need to change our mind about how we think about music. And the music that we listen to. The music that we allow into our lives. Because guess what? It will affect you. All right? We're going to get to that in just a moment. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here is that word again. And I know what this is talking about, but I'm trying to build the principle. If we're going to try the spirits and we're going to prove the perfect will of God, why wouldn't we try our music and prove our music? So these are principles that ought to function in our life in these different areas. Hey, should you be careful what friends you have? What associations you have? Then why wouldn't you be careful what music you have? I've already proven to you that music is a powerful tool. It can affect your mind. It can sway your feelings and emotions. It can work on you. So then you should be even more careful what you choose to listen to. Are you there in 1 Corinthians? Look at verse 18, chapter 1. Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So you understand what's going on here? He's talking about what's foolish to us and what's foolish to them, and what's wise to us and what's wise to them. It's not the same. So let me tell you something. If the world says your old hymns, that's foolishness, hang on to them. If they say, well, this music, this is wise, this is the way we worship God today, push it away. So if the world's accepting of it, you probably don't want it. And if the world's going to throw it away, it's probably good for you. So don't fall into that snare. Oh, hallelujah. I thought I was going to be out of time. I told you how much Clocks and I have a fight. I've got a great publication here. This was printed and written, before 2000. That is old. 1999 this was written. Amazing. All right. Let me read a few of these things to you, okay? Oh, you'll like this. In 1982, wow, that's ancient land. That's the year my wife was born. In 1982, researchers at the University of North Texas, Mean Green, way to go, right? UNT. How many of you know where that is? Up in Denton. Okay, good. All right. The Mean Green. They conducted a three-way test. They aimed to teach three groups of postgraduate students a list of vocabulary words. Each group received a pretest identical to the post-test and a list of words to study. Group one heard the list of words with a background of Handel's Water Music. That's nice, right? And were asked to visualize the words. Okay. Great way to study. Group two heard the same word list and the music, but was not asked to visualize the words. Group three only heard the word list. Okay, so the results of the study found that groups 1 and 2 had significantly improved performance over group 3. Group 3 had the worst performance. Group 1 had a very significant advantage over both of the other groups when tested 1 week later. There's an effect of music. Okay, now, let's see here. There's another one here. Let me find the one about the plants. Okay. Music that kills plants. All right. For nearly 2 years now, Mrs. Dorothy Redelick of Denver has been killing off assorted potted plants by making them listen to rock music. All right. So, all of you gardeners out there, if you have weeds in your garden, get the heavy metal out. Okay? And I don't mean your shovel. Okay? That was a good one, wasn't it? That was off the cuff. Okay? Now, in a series of experiments, She has shown that just 3 hours of acid rock a day apparently will shrivel young squash plants, flatten philodendrons, and crumple corn in less than a month. Those are some wonderful words there. And if the sound of rock does that to plants, Mrs. Redelick wonders what the same rock music is doing to our human teenagers. Let me just ask you a question, too. How many of these video games where they're stealing cars, shooting people, blowing stuff up, monsters and aliens, are playing good music? You know, there's a nice classical piece flowing behind, you know, Zombie Apocalypse 3, you know. No! It's... Right? And then you wonder why there's all these school shootings and things, you know, suicide notes and all this. I mean, hello? I like Mrs. Redelick. Let's see. Let me read her what she's got here. Oh, she's a musician, a doctor's wife, a grandmother. In her school laboratory at Temple Buell College, Mrs. Redelick has seen rock music stunt plant growth, warp roots, and kill greenery. But soft, soothing music seems to make plants perk up and flourish. And she wonders if the plants are trying to tell us something. Could the discordant sounds we hear these days be the reason humanity is growing neurotic? The answer is yes. Just to tell you. Starting in the spring of 1968, Mrs. Redelick completed 11 different experiments involving several hundred plants. All were done the same way. She would grow ordinary house and garden plants from seeds in little white plastic cups or buy seedlings of identical age from a greenhouse. Every aspect of her experimental process was under strict scientific controls from the start, and everything possible was done to ensure accurate and unbiased results. She is quoted to have said, I've always believed that music can heal and that noise can hurt. But after actually seeing what music does to plants, both good and bad, I want to spend the rest of my life experimenting along these same lines. My real interest is in people. If certain sounds strengthen plants, perhaps we might someday find a kind of music therapy for humans. By the way, Mrs. Redelick just needed to read her Bible. David came and played for Saul, and what did it do? It helped him. Okay. Anyways, though, that's what happened. How many of you are familiar with a famous man named Paul Harvey? I grew up on Paul Harvey. Okay? Now we hear the rest of the story. Okay? Music is one of the seven forms. This is Paul Harvey. Of human intelligence, all equal in stature and in potential. And yet education, as is almost totally geared to nurturing linguistic and logical mathematical abilities alone, leaving the other five forms, including music, neglected. At the elementary school level, more than half of all school districts in the United States have no full-time music teacher, and thus our schools tend to refine intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. The ugliest headlines are about somebody who may have been smart as all get out, smart enough to be a bank executive or politician or scientist, but if emotionally colorblind, he's an unguided missile inevitably designed to self-destruct. Without the arts, including music, we risk graduating young people who are right brain damaged to grow up complete music education. To grow up complete, music education is imperative. So are commas, apparently. I had to read that correctly with the comma in there. Case histories on file with the National Commission on Music Education uncover exciting correlation between the study of music and such critical workplace performance factors as self-esteem, self-discipline, the ability to work in groups, and higher cognitive and analytical skills. Music in schools, what little there is considered an ancillary to the real education, as something of a curricular icing. If it is to be reestablished as basic to education, then educators and performers, composers and publishers, and those in music-related industries must close ranks to restore the educational balance in schools. The National Commission on Music Education is such a connection. Already in its first year, it has won the support of 75 national organizations willing under slogans of "Let's Make Music" to work together toward the musical enrichment of public schools curricula. How does one plausibly argue for spending money on music when we are graduating illiterates? Should we not be putting all our emphasis on reading, writing, and math? The back-to-basics curricula, while it has merit, ignores most of the urgent void in our present system. Absence of self-discipline, the arts inspiring, indeed requiring self-discipline, may be more basic to our national survival than traditional courses. Presently, we're spending 29 times more on science than on arts, and the result is, so far, worldwide intellectual embarrassment. That was Paul Harvey News and Comment, 1991. So just things like that. And so please understand, I'm going to relate this to what we experience in churches. Most of our church members are ignorant concerning music. And we need to study. Because it is such a critical part of our creation, of our being, of who we are. Let's go to Ephesians 2. So my hope and my desire is that at the end of talking about music for all these weeks, that you might have maybe a spark inside of you to study more about music and to care about what kind of music you listen to. And when you put in that CD or you choose that song on the playlist to listen to, that you actually care where it comes from. You care who wrote it. I was just speaking with someone today. They wanted me to listen to a song, so I listened to it. And this group that sang it wasn't the group that wrote it. They were just one of many groups who had performed this song. And if you go back and research where it came from, you'll find that it's probably not the kind of music that we want in our churches. So it just takes a few moments. And by the way, I told you this is my own personal testimony. There are songs that I have sung and even sung some of them here. But previously at the other church I was at, that I will no longer sing. And I'm kind of sorry that I sang them in the first place. But they were passed on to me as good songs. And I'm just like, okay, I'll sing it. And I never bothered to look. I never bothered to research. I never bothered to find out who wrote it, why they wrote it, what the purpose of it was. And folks, those things are all very important. We need to search. Just like we search the scriptures, whether the things the preacher is saying are so. When we try the spirits and we prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. Folks, we've got to do the same in our music. Because it will capture your mind. It will capture your heart. It'll capture your soul. And you know what? You try to mess with somebody's music. Oh boy. They're going to get you. How dare you say that, Pastor? How dare you? These are good people. They love the Lord. They're worshiping Him. You'd have thought you stole their kid or something. Hey, folks, people are very, very touchy about their music. So you know it's a big deal. Are you there in Ephesians? We often use verses 8, 9, and 10. You're very familiar with that, right? But look at verses 1 through 7. Paul says, "And you hath he quickened." You know how much I love that word. Vivified, right? quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Folks, I'm just trying to set a precedent. Why would you go back to the vomit? Why would you go back to the mire and the filth? It is so available out there in the world, and you have left it to come here. To this life in Christ. You were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Folks, you heard the testimonies that I read of musicians, modern musicians, who purposely write their music to enslave people in sin. They know it. And they're not afraid even to tell you that they know it. And yet we'll just go ahead and, oh yeah, let's put that on. No. No. We were that. And by the way, that's one of the things that makes me so passionate about this, is I used to listen to that junk. And when a music group gets up in a church and they start to sing something, and my little hairs in my ears go off. And I say, I have heard this before, but it wasn't Christian. And there's all little kind of fireworks and red flags and warning signs. Going off in my head. Is that pretty good? Okay, I try. I like to mimic sounds, amen? It's fun. We don't need a backup sound in the bus because the driver does it. I gotta find my spot. Okay, Prince of the Power of the Air. This guy, he's working in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I love that passage of scripture. I think you ought to commit it to memory. It's past, 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 present, 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 present. If you sit down and you get your AirPods or earbuds, or you're in your car, and the music you're playing is not something you'd want to share with Jesus, then why are you listening to it? And I'm not talking about the lyrics. Because I'm not going to do it because I don't want to. But I certainly could. I could actually play you songs that sound identical. And one will be screaming the devil's name, and the other will be screaming Jesus' name. And you couldn't, if I took out the words, you wouldn't be able to tell me which one was the Christian rock group and which one was the rock group. And that's okay. And then let me ask you another question. Okay, so we take that song that has a good message, has good lyrics, and we scrub it down. We change the note structures just a little bit. Now it's okay for our church. Why? Why is it now okay for our church? You just dressed up a pig. It's still a pig. But churches do it all the time. And let me just tell you something. There are more and more independent Baptist churches doing that. They're reaching into the devil's trash can, pulling out rock music, sanitizing it, and saying it's good music. Can I just borrow a phrase from the Bible? Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Shouldn't be that way. A few more verses and we're done. I'm going to be done early tonight. All right. Early on my time frame. 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Folks, let me tell you something. These songs, I just had to deal with this just a few weeks ago. There's a Christian song and all it does is make the flesh want to move. I try really hard to get along with our neighbors. One of the things that I don't like about our neighbors is they play their music, their worship music, on external speakers 24 hours a day. I hate that. And guess what? It is the most awful noise you ever heard. How is that worshiping God? They say it is. It's all kinds of music. It fuels the flesh. If it fuels the flesh, if it fuels the emotions, it's not of the Father. It's supposed to fuel you worshiping your God, is what it's supposed to fuel. Galatians 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit of God, is this music pleasing to you? You say, ah, he doesn't answer me. Then you got bigger problems. Because the Holy Spirit's our guide. He's not going to answer you if you're not filled with the Spirit. Right? If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to walk in the Spirit, right? You're going to have the right path and you're going to have the right leading. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. By the way, if your music that you listen to has no problem with some of these things, then, or leads you to do some of these things, then it's not the right kind of music. Because this is the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Guess what most secular music today promotes? If not all of them, some of them. You know, we kind of tease about country music, right? If you play it backwards, you get your dog back, get your house back, get your wife back, get your money back. Yeah. Some of you haven't heard me say that before. It's one of my favorite jokes. Okay. Goodness. And that's just the lyrics, of course. But what did I read to you about some of the rhythms and some of the things of jazz and blues and rock and pop rock? And what does that design to do? Just the structure of the composition. Yeah, it promotes physical relationships. Which, by the way, that's not what music is intended for. It's intended to worship our God. So we've got to be careful. And then he says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, as we close this out, I just want to encourage you. Study. Learn about music. Be willing to ask the hard questions. You know what? I will be willing to share with you any amount of information that I can. And let me just tell you, I'm not done learning about this. Now, I may be farther along than the majority of you, but let me just say something. I have things to learn. I have songs to cut out of my life because I'm pretty sure that they're probably not right. And let me just say something else also. Just because I say that this song isn't a good song or whatever, that it's probably going to be true, but don't just take my word for it. Trust the principles. Trust the elements. And it doesn't work all the time, but I'm willing, on a personal level, to just say, hey, look, if the world likes it, I don't. And if people are buzzing about, oh, have you heard this new Christian song? Have you heard this new group? I'm probably not going to be interested just on principle. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what you're missing out on. Could I really be missing out on that much? Probably not. Because let me tell you something. I'll challenge you. I am almost, well, I don't even want to say how confident I am. I'm very confident that the average church member does not know half of the songs in this book. There are 551. So I guarantee you don't know 275 of these songs. And that's probably true. It's probably less than that. I'd be surprised if you knew 200 of them. Just check it out. Oh, we need some new music. There's 300 songs you don't know. Isn't that new music? Hey, tell you what. You could probably learn a new one every day. I love to hear Brother Losi before church. He comes in sometimes and he'll plunk around on the piano. And he's just trying to learn new hymns. Trying to, ones he hasn't heard before, or figure them out. Play them. You don't think, if you have that ability, great. If you don't, learn. But we've got to do better. That's all I'm trying to say. We can do better concerning church music.